It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're about a quarter of the way through 2026. How have your New Year's resolutions been going? Maybe you wanted to be generally healthier and lower your stress levels. And if so, maybe you've noticed a sauna craze that's been steaming up social media screens across America right now. Of course, saunas are those rooms, they get super hot. They're designed to make your body react to the heat. They've been around in some form for millennia, but there's more and more sauna businesses opening up these days, and content creators online are sharing all sorts of health claims associated with saunas.
Y'all, come with me to Sweat House, which is a cold plunge and infrared sauna.
There are two things that are undeniably the biggest extenders of lifespan and health span, and that's 150 to 200 minutes of zone 2 cardio per week and sauna.
The amount of benefits for saunas is just absolutely insane. I cannot say enough good about this sauna.
4 days a week in a sauna for just 20 minutes at 160 degrees plus will absolutely change your health in more ways than you can imagine.
It also has been shown to activate heat shock proteins, which can reduce the risk of neurodegenerative disorders like dementia.
All right, we're going to put some of those claims to the test in our conversation today. Joining me now is Sean Mullen, who is an associate professor in health and kinesiology at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. He's also director of the Exercise Technology and Cognition Laboratory there. Sean, welcome to the 21st Show.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Listeners, you can join us today at 800-222-9455. Are you a sauna person? Do they play a role in your wellness routine? Have you heard any health claims that you want to know about? Let us know at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We're on this topic for just the next 15 minutes or so, so don't wait. All right, let's, Sean Mullen, let's start with some health disclaimers, right? Who are saunas for? Who are they not for?
Well, that's a great question. Actually, I think it's really important because I believe it's a myth that they are good for everyone. If you're generally healthy, you don't have any unstable heart conditions. You know, being in the sauna after you're acclimated for 5 to 7 sessions, you know, you're generally able to tolerate it very well. But, you know, there's a rise in chronic conditions. You know, the majority of Americans have at least one chronic condition. And, you know, I think it's safe to say that, you know, you really should consult your physician anytime you're considering, you know, an intensive sauna routine. The heat can be pretty intense if you've not fully acclimated to it before. And if you're pairing it with other health behaviors like physical activity, you know, the combination of it can potentially have great benefits, but if it's your first rodeo, it can certainly be a shock to the system. It can be heavily fatiguing. And you also have to be wary of things like, you know, alcohol consumption, which is not a good mix whenever you're adding heat to the equation.
Yeah, I got to say, I'm the type of guy who like turns on the air conditioning as early as possible in the season. not a heat What about you? Are you a sauna man?
I'm absolutely hooked on sauna. I'm actually sitting in one right now.
Is it on?
It's not on.
Okay. I
took my sauna earlier today, but I try to do it, you know, about 5 days a week. I built my own sauna. And I got hooked on saunas during my honeymoon in Jamaica. My wife and I were, you know, waiting for a couple's massage, and they offered us a sauna to kill some time. And I loved it immediately, the way it made me feel. And then my wife told me that her father had been using them for years. And right around the same time, you know, I was researching in my lab ways to counter hypertension. You know, cardiovascular disease runs deep in my family. My father had a triple bypass after a heart attack, and my grandfather died of heart disease before I really had a chance to meet him. So you know, my exercise research started to incorporate this, and we wanted to see if we could combine the two, knowing that we already know physical activity, you know, and exercise, strength training, anaerobic training, is really good for your heart. It has great cognitive benefits as well, and that's one of the outcomes that we focus on. And so I was curious if, you know, that personal experience, you know, if that was borne out in the data, if it was actually making people feel better, think better, process information better. And so I think that's a novel way that my lab has been approaching and trying to understand the effects, you know, on general health.
All right. Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are speaking with Sean Mullen, professor at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, director of the Exercise Technology and Cognition Laboratory there, and a sauna enthusiast. And actually, we had a listener called in, didn't stay on the line, says I'm mispronouncing it. Sauna, I guess, is what I should be saying, not sauna. You can correct me on that. But what do you think of this craze, right? This social media trend with all these extravagant health claims going on right now?
Yeah, well, you know, sweat bathing is one of the oldest shared human health practices on the planet. I think there's evidence that, you know, early cave dwellers were doing this 10,000 years ago. I think, you know, there's definitely a rise in interest, especially in spas, high-end fitness spaces. But, you know, access is still limited. Only a minority of Americans even belong to gyms. And roughly 15 to 20% of Americans are fitness club members. Not all of those clubs have saunas. So actual use is still relatively low. And then, you know, just like exercise, roughly, you know, 50% of people discontinue their exercise program after 6 months. And I would say that, you know, the same is true for sauna users that are jumping on the craze. They're not incorporating this as a lifestyle, such as what the, you know, Finns have done for thousands of years. It's not part of their everyday lifestyle behavior. Most Americans don't own a sauna. So, you know, access is really the bottleneck. You know, and maybe if you're traveling and you get exposure to a hot spring, or maybe you go to Mexico and you try a Temezcal, those are very similar experiences, slightly different heating mechanisms. But people aren't doing this on the regular, like the Finns do.
So what are the, let's talk about some of the different types of saunas that are typically available to Americans today, right? And maybe we can start, what is the, what's the difference, say, between a dry sauna and a wet sauna?
Well, you said it, humidity. You know, so a Russian banya or a steam room generally has like 90% humidity. As soon as you walk in, you're drenched. A dry finished sauna, you know, usually constructed of, you know, cedar wood. It's meant to not be well ventilated, right? And you are, you know, you're cooking through convection. So it's heating the air around you. Infrared saunas, so infrared, it's on the wavelength, it's cooking you, kind of the sensations like you're cooking from the inside out. And so that heating mechanism is through radiation. And then there's other types of, you know, heat exposure, potentially more mild, but some of them can be pretty hot as well, like a Turkish hammam. There's Japanese warm water bathing, right? And some of these tend to be just a little bit more mild, but you're directly immersing yourself and you're in contact with the heat. So that's through conduction. So they all heat the body, and they're all elevating your core body temperature. They're elevating your heart rate, usually lowering your blood pressure, actually. And then that effect lasts for roughly 6 hours after your session is done. But yeah, I mean, the more mild the heat, generally speaking, the less it impacts your subsequent activity. Some people think that saunas across the board are great for recovery. Well, that's not entirely true. There's a lot of mixed evidence there. That immersive heat can actually cause 24 to 48 hour fatigue. But then there's some other studies with more mild heat, the infrared saunas. They have been used with athletes and studied, and sometimes we're seeing, you know, increases in maximum strength and power. So it really just depends on how much it's exhausting your system.
Well, let's go through some of the health claims that we heard, some of them in that clip at the beginning of this conversation. Something you hear a lot is this idea that saunas will get rid of toxins, right? Flush out toxins. I don't even know what that means from a scientific standpoint. Does that make any sense to you?
You know, this is something that I explored early on, because I was approached by our Fire Safety Institute. They were really interested in having firefighters shower and get decontaminated after exposure to all the various trace elements that they're exposed to, which can cause cancer. And they were curious about the potential benefits. They may have even installed an infrared sauna. But from my reading, you're not really getting rid of toxins. That's something that your kidneys and liver do. And in fact, technically speaking, if you're heated up long enough, your bowels can actually change, and things can get exposed in your bloodstream that are like bacteria. So you have to be careful not to overheat, because it could even cause sepsis. Most of your sweat, right? It's just water.
So this gets at the weight loss claims too, right? You're basically sweating out water weight for the most part.
Exactly.
So you're burning so many calories just sitting. Not quite.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah.
All right. So just a few minutes left. If somebody does want to, if they're sauna curious, and they haven't built one in their house yet, as you have, how can somebody, take this on? How can they make sauna, a part of their daily life?
Well, this is something that we're exploring right now. If, most homes that have been built in the U.S. after 1980, all have standard bathtubs. And if you get the temperature to roughly 105 to 108 Fahrenheit, that's usually about the max most people can tolerate. It might even take you a little bit before you can handle that. For just 20 to 30 minutes, a couple of days a week, you compare this with a regular walking program. I think you'll find that it has a number of psychological benefits. It has a number of physical benefits. This is research that we're actively exploring right now through a trial called Heat Waves, and we're recruiting right now. If you want to join in your local to the Champaign-Urbana area. But we're targeting middle-aged adults who have pre-hypertension that also have some mobility impairments. So in theory, a lot of people that want to do higher intensity activity may not be able to because of knee pain or joint issues. So, you know, taking a walk around the block, 20, 30 minutes, coming back, getting into your warm water bath, you may get the best bang for your buck. And of course, there are local fitness facilities that you could check out and get a membership to, and maybe a third, you know, to about half of them actually have a hot room of some kind.
Just about 30 seconds left. What do you think? Are saunas going to become a greater or more permanent part of American culture, or is this, you know, the latest social media fitness trend and we'll be on to something else next year?
Well, if I have anything to say about it, I think it will increase in popularity. And I hope that people will seek thermotherapy in some way, shape, or form. Mild heat exposure, just stressing the body to increase a little bit of that strain so that you can better tolerate the daily stresses in your life. I think that's something that you can easily pair with the other health behaviors that we know are really great. Like physical activity, getting enough sleep, and eating, highly nutritious foods.
Sean Mullen is an associate professor and director of the Exercise Technology and Cognition Laboratory at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign in the Department of Health and Kinesiology. Thanks so much for joining us today from your home sauna. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
And that is it for that conversation. We'll be pivoting again in our next segment, talking about tulips with the president and CEO of Eckert's Country Store and Farms in the Metro East area of Illinois. Tulips, they're not just for Holland, Michigan anymore. That's coming up after a short break. This is The 21st Show.